Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Angel Connection, a weekly show about all things angelic with your host, international healer and author, C.J. Martas.
Good evening, my angel friends. This is C.J. Martas, and you're listening to The Angel Connection on Friday, December 14th of 2012. I'd like to welcome you to the first anniversary show of The Angel Connection. I can't believe a year's gone by already. And I do want to thank my regular listeners, you know I love you very much, for everything you've done to encourage and support my weekly show. This evening we're going to be discussing body shifts, the role of frequency in health and disease. I was very excited to bring my guest, Dr. Sue Brown, on to share some very powerful knowledge, because angels have been talking about this for the last month or so, that much of the shifting that's going on at a vibrational level in our world right now, there are many physical ways that these challenges and things can present themselves for us to release, to heal. And I know that I've had a difficult day, as many of you must have, with learning the news this morning about the shooting in Connecticut. So I spent a lot of time with the angels today. They do have much to share with us in the angel message. Where I'd like to begin, though, is to offer the prayer requests. I had quite a few pour in this particular week. I know that there's so much shifting this month that I'm certainly a lot of old dying and new emerging. So please offer prayers for J.S. and Tom, who are struggling with diabetes and resulting pain from that. Please send prayers to Stacia, who's been dealing with some complications from a surgery almost a year ago. Please offer prayer for Dominique and his family. I ask the angels to grant him full healing for his cancer at this time, and please be supportive and loving, and for his whole family, Rose, Jordana, and Ava, that they have strength and support during this difficult time. I ask for the uplifting of Chris's prayer request this week for her son, Michael, and his wife, Erin, for her husband to have a lift of his heart, for her son, Stephen, to have protection and blessings in his new job and new marriage, and for herself to have clarity of hearing what her angels and guides are telling her for the next step on her journey. And lastly, instead of sharing an inspiring story, I'd really like to offer a short moment of silence for all of us to send our intentions and prayers, love, and healing to the families and to those children affected by the enormous tragedy that occurred in Connecticut this morning. And I know that this, you know, when these things happen, we have great compassion. We can't understand when these things occur in our world that seem so insurmountable, as it is when we have not only the loss of life at that level, but also when it affects small children. And so my prayers and intentions and sending the angels to Connecticut to help people through the struggle of these things and trying to understand what's going on. So here's the angel message. And when they came to me with the message today, not only were they profoundly concerned about the sorrow of people, all of us affected by what happened today, but they started talking to me as we enter this time of great shift through the close of this year. And they had a lot of wisdom to share with us. So here's their message tonight. Dear ones, we come to you this day in divine love to support your journey with peace and light. We know that much in your world is changing and that much is unfolding as well. There is much fear in the world about the specific date of the solstice, which occurs on December 21st. This deep fear emerges from the collective when the whole of us is challenged to close an era in order to begin a new one. We wish to address this fear and speak about it today. It can be difficult not to choose fear when you are confronted with events in the media reporting the tragic actions of others that are not done in love, but produced from fear and darkness. Seeing such a tragedy like the situation that occurred today in Connecticut can make you feel as though the world has less hope than it really does. We understand how isolated actions of a single lost person can create a deep pain and sorrow inside you and everyone. It can be difficult to understand why something like this could occur in the world of humanity at all. The event today is an unfortunate occurrence during this time of great shift. For this one event, we can tell you that many, many others that could have happened this year, and especially this month, have not. The reality of those events was changed before they could occur. When things like this happen, it can make you feel helpless to make a difference in the world, but that is far from the case. It may be a bumpy ride toward the conclusion of this year, your conscious choice now to embrace your divinity and unconditional love for yourself and others makes all the difference in the world. This simple choice has already changed reality for so many in a positive way. It can be difficult to see the powerful impact you have on the world around you. We ask you to see and believe in your power to affect the world with your love and your light. Make a choice when confronted with a grumpy person, for instance, to see their pain, to accept where they are at, and to choose compassion. Make a choice when someone does something other than what you expect, not to take it personally. Make a choice this month to vibrate to harmony rather than dissonance. Make a choice for possibility rather than hindrance. Make a choice to open doorways rather than to close them. This month, as you may have already realized, is all about your own personal choice. What world do you seek to live in? What life do you seek to live? What gifts do you share with the world? What challenges do you choose to face? What fears shall you overcome? All of these powers are yours. Seeing fear in the world around you and other people, you know, can keep you from feeling that you have the power to make any choice at all. The angels are working hard to keep the balance of love as humanity reaches the end of an old era and begins the journey toward a new one. In fact, the world around you is literally lit up by all the beings who are offering support and assistance to you and everyone else during this pivotal time. As the end of this year comes, many shall be called or even pushed to make a personal choice of love or fear. The next week will reveal many such polarities where the choice is one extreme or the other. If you feel love for yourself, then the choice to vibrate to divine love will be an easy one. If you are still letting go of inner doubt and self-judgment, it may muddy the choice for you a little bit. But if you affirm love in your conscious actions, you shall emerge on the other side of your healing and challenges, much lighter than before, and ready to uphold the new era as it unfolds next year. We wish you much love and joy and offer support for your journey. We are only a thought away, of course, and know that if you seek our help and love, you shall have it as it was in the past and as it shall always be in the future. Until next time, dear ones, we are the Seraphim. Well, I think it's a powerful message for us, you guys, this week and going into next week. We always have a choice. And though it's difficult sometimes for me to relate what the Seraphim show me sometimes, but they showed me many, many instances like that in Connecticut that could have been produced out of this fear and darkness, the polarity, and because of our conscious choice to awaken, to evolve. All the beautiful people that I am touched by during this show, you revealed to me hope and love for the new era of mankind. And so I very humbly, and I'm getting goosebumps as I say this because they're really surrounding me, you know, have such gratitude for each of you listening this evening, for the Seraphim's influence in my life, for their role in the book that I just released this week on Kindle, for everything that they do to help us see the truth in who we are. And part of that journey, part of the truth of who we are, can often impact us, obviously, at a physical level. I learned so much about, you know, 12 years ago about vibrational healing, about the mind-body connection, about all the different ways that what we're experiencing at an emotional and spiritual level can become reflected in our body in those frequencies. My guest this evening, Dr. Sue Brown, is a creator and developer of biogeometric integration, which was chosen as one of chiropractic's 10 great approaches in an article in the American Chiropractic Magazine. and most people know me, I'm a big big proponent of chiropractic care and have been for many years. She is a 1987 graduate of Palmer College of Chiropractic, and she's been in practice for 25 years. She's also an international speaker and teacher. A successful multidisciplinary practice in the western suburbs of Chicago, which is one of my favorite cities. Her practice, both in her experience, both in practice and teaching, as well as her studies and theories of force dynamics and seismic events as they relate to the formation of subluxations, which, if you don't know what those are, I'm sure she can share that with us, and the sacred geometry of the body, have provided her with both a unique perspective and new approaches to the dynamics of chiropractic. So even with a little bit of a heavy heart this evening, I'm ecstatic to welcome Dr. Sue Brown to the Angel Connection. Hello, Sue.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. When I start doing the show, even if I'm having a little bit of a cloudy day, I get perked up because the angels are all about communication and sharing. So, and, you know, going back to, you know, what I was saying before, you know, right now there is so much shifting in the world, and I think it's very topical to talk about how that really, how we deal with that in the body, how those things kind of occur for us so people can have a greater conscious understanding of some of those things. So, love to educate on the show. But I'd like you to just kind of start and share a little bit about yourself and your background and how you kind of came to be doing what you're doing.
Ah, well, it's 51 years of living, so I won't go clear back to the beginning, but I think the important things for now is, you know, why I ended up in chiropractic and on the path that I'm on. And essentially, you know, what happened for me was that I graduated with my undergraduate degree and originally was going to go for my PhD, and then circumstances happened that I realized that wasn't the course for me, and I was looking at medical school, I was looking at becoming a veterinarian, and there was something that just didn't feel right. And my sister, who's a chiropractor, gave me this book, a little pamphlet actually, about chiropractic, and I read it, and it was full of not what I expected. You know, I had this vision of chiropractic being about moving bones and back pain and headache, you know, because when I got adjusted, that's what happened. And even though my sister and my uncle were both chiropractors, they didn't really talk to me about it because I was quite a bit younger than my older sister. And I read this book, and it talks about this organizing principle, this universal intelligence that's infinite in its potential and perfect, and that actually exists not only in the universe but in every living being. And that chiropractic was about releasing the interference to the expression of this amazing power and intelligence within us. And I was like, oh my gosh, why didn't you tell me? Because it resonated with such a deep truth for me that I was like, this is what I want to do with my life and for my life. And so I changed the course of where I was thinking I was headed and went to chiropractic school. And, you know, quite honestly, with all due respect, in chiropractic school, I got a little bit of what chiropractic is, and from my humble estimation, a lot of about what chiropractic isn't. And for me, chiropractic is and will always be about releasing that interference to the infinite potential within, and not about back pain and not about headache and not even about, you know, treating symptoms so much as empowering the individual to express their fullest potential. And long story short, my path through school, my path in the, you know, 20-some years I've been in practice has been about understanding what that really means to have an infinite potential within us, how it expresses in our body. And the biggest thing is how to deliver what I consider to be the sacred promise of chiropractic, you know, that being to completely serve humanity in releasing interference to the infinite potential within each being. And that's how biogeometric integration came about. That's what drives me in practice, drives me to teach and speak, because there is such an amazing potential within us. It's just that sometimes it gets blocked. And for me, that's what creates all the dis-ease that we see in the world, whether it manifests as some type of, you know, a named illness or a chemical dependency or you know, the type of emotional internal struggle and pain that had to exist in that human being to have such a tragedy happen today. So that's a little bit about me.
Well, you know, I think that, and some of what I personally understand through my own journey, you know, I was born with a condition that they told me, you know, wasn't treatable. Part of my immune system was just gone. I wasn't born with it. And so, of course, there was a lot of fear, and, you know, back in the day with would I live, would I die? You know, I mean, I had to go kind of through all of this with traditional medicine, which I have no problem with traditional medicine, but I had to seek out things like chiropractic and all of that. And I do, just like you're saying, believe that we have infinite potential and wisdom within us. But we hit these discords, you know, where things get blocked and channels and, you know, and one thing may not make us get real sick, you know, but over time certainly they do because the frequencies of the body are affected. So where I'd kind of like to start for listeners, you know, when we're looking at maintaining health in the body, when we're looking at the infinite wisdom, Sue, what are the various kind of energetic systems that we have in our body and around us dealing?
For me, all we are is a big energetic system.
Right.
And there, and you know, it's one of those things where I'm a big old science geek, so if I get too heady with this, please feel free to interrupt me.
Don't worry, I am too, and I can translate. Yay.
And, you know, if you take a look at science over the past 100 years, you know, for a while it was really handy to differentiate between matter and energy. It was real handy in the human body to differentiate between our physicality and how that differs from our emotions or our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
For me, though, you reach a point where that handiness of splitting them up so we can understand basics of it, you know, we've learned about as much as we can without taking that step of realizing it's all the same thing. You know, matter expresses the way that it does it because it's simply an expression of the energy that we are. And so if you take a look at the energy in the body, you know, we're this huge resonating field of intricate frequency and tone and complexities and how each frequency plays and builds harmonics. And then these secondary notes because of how the interplay between the notes. And so, you know, the complexity is beyond really what we can conceive of. And we can talk about the energies in terms of emotional, you know, mental, spiritual, chemical, you know, the etheric bodies, you know, and the different flows in the body with the cosmic, you know, the cosmic orbit and the spirals within spirals. But for me, ultimately, splitting those things up, for me anyway, when I work on the body, becomes nonsensical because everything affects everything else. And, you know, if we work with only the mind and not look at what's stuck in the physicality, or only the physicality and not look at what's in the emotional body or how the chemistry is affecting that, we're going to run the risk of compartmentalizing and not seeing the whole. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, and that makes perfect sense because I like what you were saying about your approach. You know, I think that often we, you know, we get a headache or whatever, we, you know, take a pill, you know, those things, but we don't look at it as an integrative system. I almost was thinking like our body's playing a symphony of resonance.
Exactly.
Right down to the cells, right down to the larger components like organs and then, you know, bones. And it's always in motion and always...
We are a beautiful symphony in motion.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so, go ahead.
And so for me, understanding those complexities and knowing that, you know, when you look at the body, we can describe some of the mechanisms that occur, but we really don't have a clue how it all works. I mean, we really don't have a clue how it all works. And so... You know, for me, the best thing that I can do is take a look at the system and say, okay, where does it seem that there's interference? Where are there things, where is that energy being stored? Where is it stuck, so to speak? set it free, get out of the way, and let the body do what it was meant to do. Let their being, let their field do what it was meant to do. Because, you know, again, when we, it's such a fine line, you know, when we get too stuck in what are the symptoms the person is expressing, you end up chasing the symptoms and trying to stop the symptom and get farther and farther away from, wait, why are they expressing that in the first place? Because the only reason they're expressing whatever is because somewhere that field, that symphony, that beautiful music that we are is somehow being distorted. It's in dissonance. And
right.
If you shift, if the field shifts, then everything else changes in a moment.
And that's that underlying wisdom of the body. The instructions are there to stay in an optimal resonance, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So everything down from our thinking, the way we think, to the food we eat. I mean, all of these things are possible distortions. I'm sure there's more.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, we have literally, you know, billions of experiences every day. I mean, it's extraordinary the amount of...
Oh, don't say that. I try to, you know. That's a lot.
And, you know, the thing is that, you know, and I see it happen all the time where people are like, oh, my body. They get so negative about their body. And I'm like, are you aware of how much information it processes every moment of every day? And the terrible things really, not terrible, but the things that you do to your body that don't really make it easy for it to function, and still it works for you.
That's so true. When I crave the Coca-Cola and I'm going to drink the Coca-Cola, which, you know, I know all too well the frequency of, like, refined sugar, things like that, you know. But, yeah, the body still gets me up every day. You're right.
It really does.
We cause those distortions, sometimes directly or willfully. But the wisdom's there for the body to be able to make those corrections.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we are going through spiritual shifts, certainly, and I have been, and I think this is interesting to talk about tonight, and we may kind of wander around, and that's okay, because I'm a little less on point today, but I like to fly by the seat of my pants. But with all of these shifts and changes and things that are going on, you know, and throughout my life, because the shifts that I have been radical ones, not highly recommended for most of the population, because it can be pretty intense to jump. You know, when I do leap, it's a big leap. I have had so many times in my life where I've even ended up in the hospital only to have doctors tell me there's no physical reason for you to be sick. We
right.
don't know what's wrong with you. And the reason I bring that up is because I think that, you know, when we're dealing with these huge shifts spiritually that can cause a distortion, what's been your experience with things like that that don't really seem to have a root physical cause to them? How do we deal with those kinds of situations?
Well, and it's interesting that you say that, because, you know, my 25 years of practice, I've seen that happen more and more in the last few years than I used to see in the beginning. And whether it's a difference between who I attract into my practice, or I think the bigger difference is just the intensity of what's building in the field.
Right,
you know,
in the collective everywhere.
Yeah. And you know, some of it, I think, is part of the rhythms and the cycles of our evolution and the shifts, you know, that happen planetarily and in our evolution as a you know, society. And then, too, I think some of the things occur because of the consciousness of, or where mm-hmm. people's heads are, you know, the fear that's been propagated. And it's extraordinary the number of cases where people come to me as a last resort because they've been everywhere else
mm-hmm.
and are like, they can't find anything wrong with me, and yet, you know, here we are. And you know, for me, and perhaps a little, you know, backing up to talk about the, you know, the view that I have of the body, is that, you know, essentially we're meant to process experiences were meant to learn, grow, and express more of the infinite, the potential that's within us. And how that works in living systems is that, you know, we have this field, and it determines essentially the qualities of that field. The music that it resonates with determines the qualities and characteristics that we express. And so I am Sue Brown, have the personality that I do, the physical structure that I do, the level of health that I do, the cravings that I do, everything, simply because I'm perfectly expressing the music that I am. And according to contemporary science, how living systems kind of fluctuate through life is that we have, our field is in constant fluctuation between order and chaos. And what happens when we have an experience is that essentially, you know, breaking it down into simple things, there are three possibilities when we have an experience. The first possibility is that, you know, we have an experience, our field goes into chaos, and our field essentially recognizes, wow, this is an experience I've already had. You know, essentially putting it on, you know, musical terms, this is a note that is already part of my field, part of my symphony. And so, you know, for me right now, if I, you know, stand up from the chair I'm sitting in and take a step, my field will go into chaos. However, I've stood up from a chair and taken a step many, many times in my life, so there's, at this point, there's really no new information. And so if then I sit back down because I'm going back to that resting state, my field will go back to its resting level, still, you know, fluctuating with order and chaos. We're in constant dynamic balance. But it'll go to that resting level of chaos with no change because no new learning occurred. So that's one possibility. Another possibility is that we have an experience, our field goes into chaos, and in that heightened state of chaos, it's reading, okay, what's going on? What's the information? What's new for me to learn here? You know, and again, in that musical analogy, is this experience resonating with a frequency, a note, a piece of information that is not part of my musical matrix? And if it recognizes that new information, then perfect case scenario, what happens is that your field will, what they call, transact through or integrate that information. That music then, instead of simply playing in your field, activates a previously dormant piece of information within you, a dormant piece of that potentiality in this holographic universe that we live in. And that note begins to resonate and be activated in your field, increasing the complexity of the music that you are and the complexity of your symphony. And because you're a perfect expression of your field, you take a little step along the path of evolution. You know, and truly, for living systems, that's how we learn, grow, and evolve. That's how we take those evolutionary steps. Now, that's perfect case scenario if it integrates. If it doesn't integrate, then what happens, you have that information, your field goes into this heightened state of chaos, reads the new information, and I think just because of the state of your mind, your consciousness, whatever, and the point, you can't process it. Then what happens is that your field ends up in that heightened state of chaos. And in that heightened state of chaos, essentially what happens is that second law of thermodynamics, the law of entropy that says if you increase the energy of the system, it's going to lead to breakdown, chaos, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
That
yeah.
starts to happen. And so with this heightened energy that we're living in right now and all the input, not only of the preservatives in the food and the high-stress jobs and the constant input of information and all the stuff that's happening in the field because of radio waves and phone and the fear that's being propagated, you know, all of this stuff, as it becomes more and more and more intense, our ability simply to integrate those constant experiences, that barrage of input, starts to become compromised, and so we end up at this heightened state of chaos, and then we can't process the second thing in this heightened state of chaos. And so then ultimately the chaos is so high in the system that your body starts to succumb to that. But because it's playing so much in the field, there's no one cause, because it's simply that we've been overloaded with input.
And that's what distorts then, because
exactly.
It can't. We can't come back to resonance because it's at that point it's like a plunker when you hit the wrong note.
Exactly. And what's really kind of interesting about that too is that, you know, as the body goes, as the field goes into chaos, the writing mechanisms, the adaptive mechanisms of the body are still trying to work to deal with this increased chaos, with this dissonance in our music. And when we see a lot of the symptoms that start to come up, those symptoms are actually the process of the body trying to adapt to all the stuff we're doing. And so, you know, and again, whether it's the, oh my gosh, my nose has been running for a week, or I've got diarrhea, or I just want to cry for a week, or I can't get enough sleep, or I just want to scream, you know, whatever those things are, that's the body trying to deal with it. And unfortunately, you know, the current healthcare model is more about, well, okay, there's this thing that doesn't appear to be normal, so let's stop that. And in stopping it, often you're compromising the body's attempt to try and purge whatever's going on or try and release whatever's going on. And it's this real fine balance between paying attention to what our systems are saying, and yet also, as we pay attention, not getting so distracted by them that we forget that that's simply expression of something much deeper. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense to me, and it would make sense that why I would get myself getting such a real big hit on clearing the stuff over the last couple of years that I kind of grew up with, and to be able to reintegrate what my body consciousness, because we have spirit, we have mind, we have body. And like you said, a lot of times we circumvent a natural process that is trying to occur. And so if we reject the runny nose, or we reject the body, essentially, I've seen that true for a lot of people. We don't trust the body's wisdom. We don't trust ourselves, essentially. So we can, I believe the body knows exactly how to get rid of those distortions. It has that wisdom, but we often kind of stop the process then.
Well, and when we stop the process on the little things and we ignore what the body's telling us with the little things, then they start to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it becomes more and more and more challenging to efficiently and as quick as we would like help our body out of kind of sometimes the downward spiral that it started. And unfortunately, what happens when, and this isn't a true across the board by any stretch, but just in general, often what happens is that people will seek the more natural healing approaches as a last resort. And I know for me, one of the things that's kind of interesting when people come in is that many of them have pages of stuff that they've done with medications and surgeries and what have you. And like you, I don't have a huge thing against medicine. There's just some things that they do that just don't quite make sense to me, you know, with what I know of the body. It's not a huge polarity. It's just, for me, it just doesn't quite make sense. And so people will have done, you know, months, years of this stuff, and then come to me and get checked once and go, well, this is a bunch of malarkey, because with that one adjustment, it didn't all go away for them. But when you get the system in such an extreme state of chaos, sometimes it takes a little unraveling. It takes some time for the body to kind of back out of that hole that it's in, because it's in such a crisis state. I've seen things happen incredibly fast. I've seen things take a little time. But I tell you what, the more I work with living systems, it all amazes me, but there's nothing that surprises me anymore, because, you know, truly our ability to heal, our ability to express amazing, wonderful things is beyond conception. It's extraordinary if we just give it a chance.
Well, and you know, I know that for me, I had to start really trusting the body, and if I kept running to the doctor and all they did was shrug their shoulders and go, huh, I don't know. You know, I finally got educated to listen to my body, because I find that if you can connect with your body consciousness, it gives you clear signals on what you need to do.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of times we just don't like to listen, though.
No, because we've got that 10 o'clock meeting to go to, or we've got that client set, you know, and
yeah.
The way it got communicated to me was I would often have to readjust my schedule with clients, which was pulling teeth for me. But then when I'd finally say, hey, you know, I am just not in a space to work with you today, people were very gracious about rescheduling. But I used to be like, okay, you got an appointment, you be there, you know, and my body's
right.
Going, no.
Right.
And so I think we have to learn how to trust that.
Yeah, and I think that I think also it serves to really pay attention and be willing to take an honest look and honestly ask yourself, okay, what is it that I want? And two, what is it that I believe? You know, there are people, you know, in my practice who come in and they'll say, you know, well, Sue, what would you do? And it's like, you know what? I can determine what I would do because I know my belief systems, right? And I know what on a core level I know what I believe to be true. And there's no part of me that doubts it. And so for me, when I've got whatever wacky thing going on in my system, for me to ride out the storm makes perfect sense because I completely trust the practitioners who I work with, and I absolutely trust my body's ability to heal. And I also trust that I'll know when I need some type of intervention. Interestingly, you know, last year at around this time, I had a momentary lapse, and I put my hand in the middle of a dog fight, and the tip of one of my fingers was about taken off. And the people that I was they weren't sure if they were more shocked about my finger halfway hanging off or the words, you know, I think maybe I better go to the hospital coming out of my mouth. And so I knew at that point that, you know what, this is something that I think that I could probably use a little medical intervention with. Then when it came to healing, I also knew that the medications they were offering me were not things that I was going to do. And with any individual, you know what, I can say to you, your body has an infinite potential to heal. But if to the core of your being, your consciousness isn't there, then your consciousness isn't there, and you also need to respect that. Because I think that some people can, you know, sometimes get into trouble when they ride that fence of, yes, mm-hmm. intellectually I believe this, but really on that core level they don't trust it. And so they end up pushing that envelope, and then, you know, I've seen it happen with parents where I don't want to give my child antibiotics, but a temperature freaks them out, so they'll give them aspirin to drop their fever or whatever to drop their fever, and then they've compromised their system. Or I've seen them say, well, I don't believe in immunization, so they don't do that, but then they also don't pay attention to them getting good nutrition and rest to strengthen their systems. And so, you know, it's like, whatever you choose to do, you have to know yourself and your belief system enough also to really take an honest look.
Well, I value what you say there, because growing up with a bunch of nurses, you know, I had to really challenge that when my daughters were very young. And I was on the sixth antibiotic for a sinus infection. I think I probably told you this story. And I was like, and every time the kids got a sniffle, I run them to the doctor. It was much, you know, conditioned belief that you get sick, you go to the doctor. And I said, well, I'm going to try a little experiment. We're going to change that belief. And so I started, when my kids would get a little sick, you know, a little sniffle, here, let's take some vitamin C, drink plenty of water. Your body can take care of this. Guess what? They got better.
Yep.
So we've done a whole show on beliefs recently, the power of belief. And I think that that can be the difficult part when we're trying to reintegrate the body, knowing that that wasn't there and trusting us. So glad that you brought it up, that we have to kind of know ourselves enough to know what we believe to be true at the core, right?
Yep. And I tell you, those, that you started with your kids young is so perfect, because that's when a lot of those beliefs lock in. You know, it's, you know, even pre-verbal is where so many of the our thoughts, our feelings about ourselves on that field level start to integrate. And it's so much harder to shift it when you're older, especially because so many of them run below the surface. You know, they're completely subconscious, and those belief systems function in our life, and they're so much a part of us because they've been there for so long that often it takes something extreme to really challenge them and to cause us to break out of them. And I think that's, you know, that's one of the things to realize with these intense times. It's like, you know what? It's hard, but it's also a time of such incredible potential to learn, grow, evolve, move past the blocks that have been running in our lives and really, for many of us, dictating the course of our lives for so long. And it's just, you know, can you integrate it or not? You know, can you use it as a springboard for amazing evolution, or are you going to succumb to it and allow it to just pile more on the heap of what you're already carrying around?
Well, I think that's so true, and I was surprised when I had Mary on talking about the power and energy of our beliefs, that everything was ingrained before the age of 7.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those deeply held core beliefs about ourselves and about how things work. And so that was really amazing to me that we're so young. That's why they're so subconscious. It's from that place of the child. And I've seen a lot of people really having to go do that inner child work, so to speak.
Right. Well, and what's incredible is that, you know, when I put my hands on somebody, you can feel that resonance in their system. I mean, you can feel the layering. You can feel, you know, the belief systems, the emotions that are stuck. You know, when I teach, one of the things I tell the students is that, you know what, the best teacher you will ever have are the people you serve, because the body just doesn't lie. It does not lie. And I'll, you know, I've got like a 6-page history that people fill out just to give me a sense of what they've experienced through the course of their life, from, you know, what their mom's pregnancy was like to what happened yesterday. And it's funny because some people, oh, no, nothing's happened. And then I put my hands on and I'm like, okay, yeah, right. And then as we start adjusting and working with them, they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, did I tell you this? And then the true story comes of all the tremendous things that we've experienced. I tell you what, I had no idea how much abuse there was in the world, how many drugs people were on, just all of this stuff, until I started looking those as histories. And I'm like, man, if reading these and seeing this, you know, pretty okay, halfway nice human being walk into your office, if that doesn't give you incredible respect and awe for the power of the body, that we could experience all of these things and still be halfway functional and halfway nice human beings on the planet, if that doesn't, you know, just set you back in awe, I don't know what would. Because it's extraordinary what we experience in life. And it's all stored in the body.
It's all stored in the body.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
what
locks it in space and time.
Well, and with all these shifts, all the shifts that are going on right now at this time, certainly our body is going to be communicating certain things, you know, where those distorted frequencies are.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, when you were saying you just kind of have to ride through the experience that you're having, you know, with the physical body. I've actually been in bed a lot of the day today because I woke up just sick. This is before I even got the news of what happened today. But I've learned to just honor that. And I think that as we're moving forward, learning to move into a new conscious space, challenge those negative beliefs, you know, all the things that I talk about on this show, we're trying to really kind of return to that infinite frequency or that optimal frequency. I mean, isn't that where we're all headed?
Hopefully, yeah. That's what I'm working for, that's for sure. And as I may, probably this morning you were processing, your body was processing some stuff.
Yeah, well, it didn't like it.
Yeah, of course.
It was purging everything.
You know, it's funny because I was reading this article that said human beings are the only living systems that will actually seek out stress. And we do. We seek it out to learn, grow, and evolve because bottom line, I think that's what drives us, you know, to constantly be expressing more and to move forward. And, you know, I'll miss a day in the office or whatever, and people are like, oh, were you sick? Did you have a flu? And I'm like, no, I was just processing. And they're like, what does that mean? And I'm like, my body was working on something. Oh, well, you just had a cold. You're just saying that. And it's like, no, truly, my belief system is I wasn't weak. My system didn't succumb to some weakness. I was processing, and my system was moving me to a new level. Because here's, you know, there's good news and not great news with all the stuff that we store. You know, the not great news, obviously, it doesn't feel good. You know, it creates chaos and dis-ease and leads to all the stuff that we, you know, typically get treated for. That's the not great news. The good news is that at least according to the world that I live in, the truth that I've created for myself is that it's all there as an expression of potential of an experience you had to learn, grow, and evolve. That because of your state of being in the moment, you couldn't integrate it. And because you couldn't integrate it, the body said, you know what? I don't want you to miss this opportunity to learn, grow, and evolve. And so, in the perfection of the universe that we live in, it stores it in your body. And it says, you know what? We're going to store it here. And when you're ready, we're going to provide you with the perfect experience, practitioner, word, piece of music, whatever it is that's going to set that free, and it's going to integrate. And as it integrates, it activates that potential within you. Your field goes to a greater state of ease. Some of the dis-ease in your system releases, and you take a step along the path of evolution. You know, that's truly what the healing process is about. It's not just about the symptoms going away. They go away as a nice byproduct, as a new expression of greater clarity in the field. The bigger thing that happens is that evolutionary step. And every single person that I have ever talked to who has been through a healing process, they're like, you know what? It's the best thing that could have happened. I'm so much better. I'm so much more having healed through that process. And it's all whether we give people the opportunity, allow them the space, the grace, you know, the love, the support to grow and heal through that process and take those steps in evolution.
And I've heard that a lot as well with people. You know, I bring them on the show who had terrible illnesses or doctors said they were going to die. But if they use that opportunity that's been given to them, they come out on the other side going, it was the best thing that ever happened. But I know that, you know, when you were talking about beliefs and all of that, a lot of times I think is there's this misconception that the further or the more enlightened you are, evolved and conscious you are, that you shall be spared all physical, you know, anomalies and things of this nature. But that's not true, is it?
No, we all have our path, and we all have a little roller coaster ride that we ride. And, you know, what's funny is that I would say that not sickest, but some of the people who are the most symptomatic that I've worked with are people who are incredibly conscious and do amazing work, you know, either energetic healing work or channel this or, you know, whatever. And the thing is that it's they're choosing to process a lot of information and a lot of an energy through their system and still live in this world that we live in. You know, because as high as one's consciousness may become, we still are part of a group field. And I tend to think the more expanded, the more enlightened somebody comes, the more they realize that, you know, we're all in this together. And so would actually choose to bring intense energies through them to not only further their own evolution, but further the evolution of the beings on the planet. And so I think that there's often incredible intensity, and often I think it's those intense experiences that, and don't get me wrong, I don't think our healing has to be hard. You know, I don't think our evolution has to be hard, but sometimes it is. And I don't necessarily think it's, if the harder it is, the bigger gift on the other side. I mean, that's a paradigm I'd like to shift consciousness away from, for sure. But sometimes it is. And I tell you what, sometimes the more expanded we become, the more we feel. You know, when I was in college, I could for breakfast have Oreos and a can of Coke and I'd feel fine. I do that now. Yeah. And my system, oh gosh, my system goes, "Oh no, no, no. You didn't do that."
No.
And it's my body saying, "Do you really want to do that?" Well, was I healthier then when I didn't feel it, or healthier now? I think I'm healthier now. And my body's just saying, giving me very strong indicators of, you know what, didn't like that very much. Not that I can't adapt to it, but I didn't like it.
Well, and you know what, the chiropractor that I learned vibrational healing and medicine from used to say that, you know, as we're clearing these distortions, as we're hit these peaks of awareness, as our frequency gets higher, as we're, as you would say, integrating more information, he actually said that the polarity can cause even a minor small issue to suddenly manifest huge. And I've had that experience where it felt like I was just literally going to keel over and die, though at the time I had conscious awareness that wasn't what was happening. It was something I was letting go of. But, I think the intensity of those experiences can go up. I mean, they don't have to be that way. For some reason, I ultimately choose them to be that way, really. But I think that we sometimes feel like we're free and clear, but it is a mechanism we're going to use our whole lives, right?
Sure. Absolutely. And you know, the thing is, and it's again, trying to get away from that paradigm that we were raised with, or that many people, at least in Western society, were raised with, and that is, if you're feeling a symptom, then you're sick. And that, when you look at the ebbs and flows of the body, that isn't the case. You know, sometimes it's at those peaks and valleys when it's at the peaks when the body is working hardest to heal through whatever. And, you know, that consciousness around, you know, we all want to be in that normal range because that's ultimate health. And it's like, no, it's not. You know, when the heart gets to be an absolutely regular rhythm, that's a good indicator that you're headed for a heart attack. You know, we've got this desire to get around this norm, but it's those chaotic fluctuations that allow the body to go through its changes and heal to that next level, whether it's physically, chemically, emotionally, and mentally, or spiritually. And we don't want to get caught in the normalcy. We don't want to get caught just in the chaos, but it's that fluctuation, you know, that, wow, my fever's up, my body's working hard, great, shoomp, and then you're on to the next thing.
Well, my teacher used to tell me when I'd be like, he's like, "How you doing, CJ?" I'd be like, "Sucks, I feel like crap." And he's like, "Great." And I used to want to punch him, but it's true because things are happening, right?
Yeah, and you know, the thing, you know, for me, it's is it changing? You know, that's always the question for me, is it changing? if it's stuck in the same thing over and over and over again, okay, then, you know, something's up. You know, for me as a practitioner, when I look at the body, if it's stuck in that same pattern, not necessarily the same symptom, but if it's stuck in that same pattern over and over again, then either I'm missing something or there's something in that person's life that's very strongly enforcing what it is that's going on, and their being is not willing to move on from that until they stop that behavior.
Right.
And so for me, if patterns are changing or things are changing, then, you know, let's see what happens. Also, I say to people, though, you know, if somewhere on that intuitive level something says, you know what, I need to get this checked out, then get it checked out. If you're going to worry about it, get it checked out, because just worrying about it is going to create it in your field.
Well, and I've had that happen, too, where I've been like, I don't need to go to the doctor, but some little voice goes, go get it checked out. So the minute I start worrying about it, I just go to the doctor so they can tell me what I already know they're going to tell me. But we kind of have to just listen and know ourselves enough to flow with it in the way that we best can.
Right.
In my opinion.
You know, and for me, you know, I've had people say, well, you know, what if you were diagnosed with cancer? You know, what would you do? And, you know, because that's the big C word, what everybody's so afraid of. And
right.
And I say, well, first off, I don't know how I'd get the diagnosis because I never go to the doctor. But if I, here's the thing, is even if I got some big, bad diagnosis, I would do the natural things. And so I have to ask myself, Sue, if you need, what does it say about you that you would need that big diagnosis to do something that you know is good for you anyway? You know, do you really need that kind of motivation, or can you just do it? And so for me, I go to, you know what? If I'm choosing that, oh, well, I have to be completely erect before I do these healthy things for myself, then I'm choosing the rough road.
Right.
That's bottom line.
It's true. And, you know, for me, it's a lot lately, it's just been surrender, you know, get out of my way, because those things are going to come up the way that they're supposed to, and I'm going to see those things. So, well, gosh, you know, we have burned the whole hour here except for 2 minutes. So how can people reach out to you as we're closing up here?
We didn't really talk about biogeometric integration. You know, essentially what it's about is when you take a look at the energy that's stored in the system, there's a perfect geometry to the body that allow you to know how you can release it beautifully and integratively. And so if people want some information on that, the website is bgiseminars.com. And so they can get information about, you know, practitioners who practice BGI. There's some papers that I've written on, you know, the theories of healing and the whole subluxation thing. For me personally, the best way to do it, if you want to message me and ask some questions, is on Facebook, and it's BGI Sue Brown, so you can friend me. And then if you want information, info@bgiseminars.com is the best way to do that.
Well, wonderful. Thanks so much for coming on, Sue. I think this is important information, so I appreciate you sharing some time with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And, well, guys, you know, that's all the time we have this evening. I always enjoy doing the show. It perks me up, so I appreciate that, since it's been an interesting day. You've been listening to the Angel Connection Show with CJ Martis. Well, I know that you're all going to miss me, and because I'm going to miss you terribly, but I'm off for the next few weeks to spend some holidays with family and relax for a change, let my body rest as I had it communicating to me lately, according to what we're talking to on the show. I've selected some of my favorite and some of your favorite shows to re-air during that time, but I will return with the Seraphim. They've told me they may drop out an angel message or two. In the meantime, while I'm gone, I'll return on January 11th to continue to share new information from the angels and my special guests. My love to all of you, and may your holiday season be filled with light and love. Until next year, my friends, remember to be angelic to yourself so that you can become an angel to others, just like I know you are. I love you, and happy anniversary to me, and I'll talk to you guys next time. Bye-bye.